welcome to another fabulous episode of All the Vegas, the definitive Vegas entertainment podcast presented by Las Vegas Weekly Magazine and coming to you from just off the world famous Las Vegas Strip at the Space. I'm Brock. Mark is here too. I want to start off today by doing a little explaining. I want to talk a little bit about Monday's Dark because I always talk about Monday's Dark, but I feel like I haven't really ever. It's possible someone's listening to this and they don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
That's ridiculous.
So it's time to explain it. Plus, our guest today is a regular at Monday's Dark, so it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. So if you love music, if you love to laugh, if you like to have a few drinks on a weeknight.
Yes.
And if you long for or if you pine for this idea of like kind of old school Vegas-y Rat Packian entertainment, or this idea that all these great performers and all these great shows on the Strip get together and just hang out and have a good time and sing and dance and perform their own way and their own style. If that appeals to you at all, this is what that is. Monday's Dark is the closest version of that we have in Las Vegas right now. It happens twice a month right here at the Space. There's always a different musical theme to it. It could be soul music, or it could be 80s rock, or it could be like the last one that I just went to, music from the movies of John Hughes, which is kind of a genius idea. It's always different and it's always fun. And there's a great big bonus, which is that every show benefits a different local charity. So every Monday's Dark raises how much money?
$10,000
for a different local charity, which is a lot of money and a lot of different people in Las Vegas every year. So I'm really passionate about this thing. I love it. I'm kind of obsessed with it. And it's one of the reasons that I wanted to start this show, because I want to get my hands deeper into this incredible community of entertainers that we have in Las Vegas, the people that make Vegas so special. And that's what happens every time at Monday's Dark. So that's my spiel. Mondaysdark.com. Come check it out.
Should be our agent.
Mark's there, usually.
I try not to miss him. it's crazy. We're up, I think we're in the 81 Monday's Dark events now. So it's like over 800,000 that we've raised for the city. And it's 10K to a different charity every time. And it definitely wasn't what we set out, you know, when we started this thing. It wasn't the goal, but now it just sort of runs itself. And, you know, we work hard to put them on, but it's supported by such a cool group of entertainers and a great local group of supporters locally here. It's what it is. It's neat.
There's a family. It's also like the most fun, like drunkest networking event you could ever do. If you like just moved to Vegas and you wanted to go meet a bunch of people that really make an impact around here, you go there and you meet somebody from a different nonprofit organization and learn all about it.
Yeah.
And drinking.
Yes.
I drink
that's
too much
the
when
key.
I go to Monday's
that's
Dark.
The
that's
key.
Why I'm, that's why I love it so much.
Shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Let's get into it. Our guest today is, I guess, let's say you're a fixture. A Vegas show fixture. Baz Showstoppers. Fantasy Zombie Burlesque. Pinup. 50 Shades of the Musical, the world's greatest rock show. These are just some of the shows she has electrified with her amazing voice and presence. And that's not even counting all the stuff she did before she came to Las Vegas. Right now, she's wrapping up a really great run at Baz at the Palazzo. And she also has her own show, Alice, a steampunk concert fantasy, which is returning to the Red Rock Resort in August. Ann Martinez, welcome to All the Vegas. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Where are you from, Ann Martinez?
I am from Rochester, New York, a little town called Pittsburgh, and grew up there. Then went to college and went to grad school in London. And then I just started, I did some West End, and then I just started working regional theater and tours, European tours. And then the economy went bye-bye, so I did cruise ships for 2 years. And then that's where I met my husband. He's a rigger for Cirque du Soleil, and he was hired out here. And a friend of mine that I went to college with lived out here. So I had kind of checked it out a few times just on vacation. So I was like, well, we'll just try Vegas.
So you're already an entertainer, but never occurred to you maybe Las Vegas would be the place to
come. Oh, hell no. Hell no. I do not look like a Vegas performer. I am short and am not blessed in certain areas. So I knew it would be an uphill battle, but I'm spunky. So I was like, well, I'll just kind of see where I can kind of find my own way. And I was really lucky. I booked a show my first day in town.
What show was that?
Bite.
Bite.
It was the coolest.
It's a vampire burlesque thing, wasn't it?
It was the coolest.
I'm going to say that was the Stratosphere.
It was. It was a 80s rock show. So it was all 80s rock songs. And it was all these hot girls with vampire teeth. And then they had a vampire lord. And there were three of us in the audience that were plants. So it was myself that gets bitten and becomes a rock singer. And then there's another guy who got bitten and became an aerialist. And the other one was bitten and became the vampire queen. And it was so cool.
How is the show not around anymore?
No, I think that's the show ever. It ran for 8 years. And I'm not really sure why it closed. Like I came in one day and everyone was upset. And I'm like, what's wrong? We're sold out. And it was like, we're closing. I'm like, what? And thus began the weirdness of Vegas. So I'm sure it was something random, but it was like the best time ever.
I want to see that show.
It was so good.
I never saw Bite, obviously, but I do have a Bite story. And the quick version of that is that I was at a bachelor party. One of my best friends getting married in Las Vegas. I was at a bachelor party hanging out with his father-in-law-to-be from Texas, from a small Texas town.
Oh, God.
And we were at a club at Wynn. I don't remember what club. But he was very out of place, and I was talking to him and asking him what he had done in Las Vegas this whole week that he was in town for the wedding. And the high point of his trip was Bite.
I'm telling you right now, that was a really good show. Like, I miss it. And when people ask me, like, what was one of your favorite shows? I'm like, Bite. The girls were so nice. It was so fun. I got to sing, like, Stairway to Heaven and, like, Come Sail Away. Like, it was all these awesome songs. And it was just fun. Everyone was really sweet. And, like, they had real, like, dental. They, like, were full out. They were, like, real fangs. But when you put them in, everyone kind of talks like this because, like, the fangs were really thick. So everyone would have this lateral lisp backstage. So it was all these, like, beautiful girls. And everyone's just talking like this because of the fangs.
The irony of being, like, a sexy vampire is that you have a lisp.
Yeah. A few of them have told me stories where they got pulled over, like, by cops and they still had their fangs in. And they'd be like, I'm sorry, I was speeding. And, like, the cop was like, don't worry about it.
Nobody's getting a ticket with fangs in.
No, when you're hot and you have fangs and a lateral lisp.
You're getting arrested. That's what's happening.
I think either of those things would get you out of your ticket. But both is too much to.
Yes.
I mean, you've been in a lot of different shows. But you've also done other, like, backup singing and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. I sing backup for Engelbert Humperdinck on his national tour. And I love singing backup for people. A lot of times when I've met people who are, like, new in town and they have, like, a night where they're doing something, I always offer, if I can, to sing backup. I just think it's a cool thing. I love, like, people having, like, their moment and just, like, supporting them like that. It's really fun. And plus it's cool to, like, do some funky harmonies and things like that.
I think that you are pretty recognizable for your voice, your very powerful singing voice. Do you have to do certain things to take care of your voice here in Las Vegas?
When I first came here, it's just so dry. You know, that I think that was the thing that was kind of like, ooh, it just feels different. Like, I've sung all over the place and I've never had allergies. I mean, I could sit in poison ivy and, like, nothing will happen. But here, it's just different. I think it takes everybody a hot minute to kind of be like, oh, okay, I need to do this for me. I think it's really personal for everybody because we're all just like different biologically. But for me, I have a really annoying warm-up app on my phone that's really obnoxious that I do before the show and for about 40 minutes where it starts really simple and then it goes up to like operatic stuff. And then I'm a big believer in eating local honey because it gets the pollen like in your system. And I'm also a big advocate for Pedialyte. It's not just for babies. And it is the best. That stuff, like during the summer, if I'm doing a show in summertime, I have it backstage all the time. You just kind of sip it through the night. It just keeps you hydrated. And it's just different here. You get zapped really quick, so your voice gets tired faster because it's so dry. Yeah. Yeah, it's a different experience. I'd never had, the first time I came here, I had the worst sinus infection of my life because like all the pollen from the cacti or whatever the hell these plants are like attacked me to a new level. But once you get the pollen in your system and the local honey, you're good to go.
I was wondering if that local honey thing was real.
It is true.
We have it in the house.
You can get it like Whole Foods or like GNC has it.
There's a guy on the corner sells it by my place.
Oh, look at you. You're like, just pull up.
Excuse me,
you got
sir.
The honey? You got it?
You got the honey?
Like, I got it in the back.
Yeah. No, there's a farmer's market. There's a locals farmer's market in Summerlin that Cheryl found, and we go. And
it's the best.
We never buy anything, but we always buy like honey or jam.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's got to be making a jam out there.
One time I was really drunk at a farmer's market, and I bought very expensive pottery.
Yeah.
Which I don't need.
Is it ugly?
No, it's cute. Okay. But, like, I woke up the next day and was like, I can't believe I just bought all this pottery. And I get compliments on it all the time. Like, I use it when people come over, and they're like, this pottery is beautiful.
What did you learn today?
Oh, thank you. And I'm like, well, a drunk purchase is a good purchase.
Anne has nice pottery.
I sure do.
Start a new show
called
That
Anne's
Is When
Pottery.
I Was Drunk at a Farmer's Market and just follow you around and see what happens.
It's dishwasher safe, too. I mean, the glaze is no joke.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dishwasher
that radiates.
Safe.
They're couture.
I bet it's only top shelf dishwasher safe.
Oh, yeah. No, always top shelf. I'm not going to put it down at the bottom.
You got to be careful.
You're asking for trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mark doesn't do dishes, so he doesn't know what we're talking about.
Can you Instagram later today a picture of the pottery?
Oh, hell yes.
Yes. We will share that.
I will tag the space. I'll be like, here it is.
Vegas. We will put that on the
hashtag all the Vegas.
Yeah.
Hashtag top shelf pottery.
Mm-hmm. Drunk purchase.
You. So Baz is one of our favorite shows.
Yay.
Baz is closing. Later this month.
Yes.
You joined the cast a couple years ago, or?
They have been open about 2 months, and I got a call to come in to do Daisy for a month. They had like a little break in between their casting, and then, so I did that, and then they kept me on as the understudy, a full-time understudy lead. So I ended up learning everybody except the ballroom because no one needs to see that. And it'd be bad. So I learned all 5 tracks. And then if I wasn't on, I'd be off stage singing to the sound booth. But as it worked out, people were, you know, calling out, getting injured, things like that a lot. So I was on a lot. And then I took over for Satine last June. And then I just stayed there, and then they signed me on full-time just as Satine. But I'm still an emergency Daisy, just in case if Jacqueline is not available, who's the first cover. But I've been doing Satine for over a year now. Yeah.
So since I'm trying to be over-explain things today, Baz is a musical. If you don't know about it, Baz is a musical based on 3 different Baz Luhrmann films.
Technically 4. It's Strictly Ballroom and Romeo and Juliet, Moulin Rouge, and The Great Gatsby.
Right.
Yes.
And it kind of incorporates characters and scenes and music from all of these into one story. It probably doesn't make sense the way I'm explaining it, but it actually works really well. It moves really fast, and it's just packed with music and emotion, and it's great, and we love it. What's the experience of performing in this very unique production been like for you?
It was a really weird experience at first because I kind of came in after, you know, everything was done. So when you're coming in and understudying or swinging, it's always kind of a funky experience because you're not quite part of the cast. You're just kind of like plugging in. And I get very much in work mode. So it was kind of interesting. And I was playing so many different characters. But once I got to kind of, I got to sit down and do Daisy for a hot minute and then play a bunch of people. I actually never really learned Juliet because I'm old. But one day we were doing a put-in rehearsal, and it was like 5:30, and our Juliet was not looking well. She did not look well. And I went to her. I was like, are you okay? She's like, I really don't feel good. I was like, girl, you look like you're going to pass out. She's like, I can't call up. My understudy's not here. I was like, I'll do it. It'll be fine. Well, you know, it was I was like, I can't – oh, God, what did I just say? So I literally had like 30 minutes to learn that track, and I was too small for one dress and too tall for another dress. So they're like sewing lace over my butt because it was just like getting crazy. The wings are a lot. They get in the way. And I didn't know the harmonies. So I had my in-ear piece, and my MD was playing it in my ear the whole time because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So it was like, like it was pretty insane. But once I got to sit down and just do Satine for a long time, and I got to work with you know, Anderson, the original director, who's fabulous, and then Eric Jordan Young came in as our show maintainer director, and he's fabulous. So I really got to get incredible direction from the For the Record team and also from the team out here. So that was really cool to work with all those different people and see what, you know, how they interpret the characters and what speaks to them. And because we definitely grew, I believe, character development wise as the show kept running, which is a gift out here. So we really got to, you know, ask questions and delve in there and really nitpick certain things and how we felt about these characters, because we can't pull too much from the films if it's not in the script. And I think I say like three lines, so you have to put everything into every gesture and every moment. So that's been really fun to develop with the cast and the different Christians, and I think I've had like 8 or 9. So they've all played it slightly differently, and that's been great. It's a great experience of how they interpret it and how they do it, and watching other people come into the show. So when new people would come in, it would really dictate, and it would morph the show a lot, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So every time you would come, if you'd see a different, you know, actor playing the role, it would really change the show, which is what the brilliance of For the Record mm-hmm. and all their shows they create is that the actors really do dictate the energy and the movement. It's very, very cool.
Yeah, I think you were, I've seen it twice, and I think that you were the only, I guess, lead character that was in both mm-hmm. of the shows that I saw. Everybody else had rotated.
Yes. Most of our contracts are 6 months. But, you know, people get sick or injuries and things. And so we have a lot. All the four ensemble cover. And then we have 2 offstage swings, 2 women and 2 men. So we're moving and grooving.
Did you have a preference between playing Daisy and playing Satine?
Daisy has to dance a lot in Act 1, which is cool. But doing that cartwheel into a split is just like, oh, God. Every time I'd be like, here we go, you know, but the character from the book as well, you know, she's a very imperfect person and, you know, not the nicest. And so it's kind of fun to play someone who, you know, I disagree with her and how she conducts herself. So that was kind of fun. And of course, you get to sing a great song at the end of the show. I just have fallen in love with Satine. I love that character, and I love her. We all go through that where we do what we have to do to survive emotionally, and then someone shows up who breaks that. And it kind of is how you let go. Do you let go? When do you let go? And what happens to you when you're vulnerable? And the sad, you know, her sad story is when she finally has the strength to say how she truly feels, she dies. So it's kind of like that's her tragic love story. So I love her journey. It's fun.
It's a highly emotional show. I know that Mark has cried every time he's been...
Wept. It's devastating.
Wept like a child.
It's devastating.
I'm a huge fan of For the Record. You know, you mentioned it a couple times. For those listening, it's an amazing group of creatives. Shane and I have known each other for a long time, and They have other shows. Like, they do the Tarantino Project.
I'm obsessed with that.
They did
one.
A John Hughes.
Scorsese.
Yeah, Scorsese's a perfect For the Record show that should come to Vegas. And we've talked about that. Like, you know the Scorsese films and that catalog and watching them live on stage. A group of us went to L.A. to see it when it was running. And they're just so well put together. They really strategically place everything. And it's so well aligned. And it's, Baz is no exception. It's a great show. And it's definitely going to be missed on this trip just from a creative standpoint. A lot of times, you know, Vegas gets a little hesitant to bring shows in that are artistic first and commercial second. And this was definitely one that brought the artistic first and became commercially successful. And it had a great run here, you know, just an amazing run. And it's sad to see it go, but something will take its place, I'm sure. And we keep evolving. Mm-hmm. We take a building down, we build a new one. A show closes, we open another one.
Both of you have performed in many musical theater type shows in Vegas and outside of Vegas. Baz is closing another very highly anticipated musical production. Marilyn opened and closed real quick. And not to get into the specifics of why shows close, because it's different for every show, of course. But there's not a lot of that kind of show on the Strip right now. Like, ensemble cast, musical, really music-oriented, Broadway-style shows.
We have a few reviews still kicking around on, like, a smaller scale level, like a smaller theater-type thing in some of the, you know, those shared rooms, I call them. You know, what do you call those theaters here that have multiple shows in them? Vegas the Show is not going anywhere, and that's a musical review, right? And but there are no book musicals left.
Right.
And I think it comes in waves. I think it's important for people wanting to produce musicals in Las Vegas that they actually look at the musical they want to produce for a minute. It may be a hit in New York, or it may have had success on tour, but that might not necessarily translate to Vegas. I think there are a lot of amazing book musicals that would do incredibly well here. I just don't know that those in the power positions that make these decisions to bring shows know of these shows that are based in Vegas. I think there are some New York producers that have become very hesitant to bring theater here just simply because of the track record we have. However, that being said, I think the track record is actually quite impressive. Like, when you compare it to New York City, where that's the theater mecca, shows open and close there all the time.
I mean, Amelie was open for 2 weeks.
All the time.
And it closed.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to, like, win every Tony. It just depends. And I think with Vegas, I mean, Mark and I were discussing this the other day, people who come here, we're a transient town. And a lot of people here, English is not their first language. So if it is too book heavy, they're not going to follow it. And I feel like people, when things don't do well, they get mad at Cirque. And I'm like, don't get mad at Cirque. We need to pay attention to Cirque. They found a way to delete language and create montage and visuals of brilliance that they can touch all cultures and people. It's actually really celebratory, and I think we should pay attention to that. That's their form of circus. We need to figure out how to do that in the musical form. And I think that is possible. I think strong subject material works, marketing, of course, but also shows have to run for a year before any profit can be made. And that is tough. That takes a lot of money and a lot of patience. And that's difficult. That's a very difficult thing to do. But, I mean, Mark and I have always discussed how we really think that things can work here. It just is finding the right formula and what people enjoy and what they like. Like, Rock of Ages had a great run. You know, shows like, you know, people talk about Avenue Q not doing as well, but it's very New York joke heavy. So people may have not understood the jokes. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean the show is bad. Like, I think everyone needs to just, like, take a breath and be like, okay, if I was going to another place and I didn't speak that language as well, what would hold me in that seat? You know, because the last thing you want are the phones to come out and the texting, you know. So I think just finding that balance, I think that's the next very exciting challenge for Vegas is, what do we do now?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of there's a lot of opportunity ahead on the creative side, and I'm looking forward to seeing what a lot of these entertainment directors and creative directors in town do on the larger scale. Because there's a lot of empty theaters. Let's call it what it is. There's a lot of rooms in on the Strip that are empty. Rock of Ages closed 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and the room's still empty.
And that's a beautiful theater. And the Phantom Theater.
Phantom Theater. Like the Venetian Palazzos, after you guys close, have Human Nature.
Yep,
they have five major theaters on that property. Now, that's not to say they're not going to do, you know, the one-offs and bring in the celebrity headliners and things like that. But I'm excited for the challenge. And, you know, I always talk about the Smith Center because I love the Smith Center and what they have brought to Las Vegas. But there's no reason that a lot of these rooms on the Strip can't take the same operating concept that the Smith Center does. Just because a show is on tour doesn't mean it necessarily has to play the Smith Center. How cool would it be if the Hamilton stop was at the Wynn, or if the Hamilton stop went to an amazing empty Broadway house on property? And I think some of these entertainment directors should go after Broadway across America and bring in some of these Broadway tours to the Strip. And that might change their opinion again of getting a show to sit for a minute. You know, there's no reason why a Broadway show can't sit at one of these properties for 4 or 5 months.
I think Wicked could sit here forever.
I
really think Wicked could come.
100%.
The thing is that with the way people are entertained here and the way people eat and drink and gamble, it is paring things down to a time frame, because intermission can kind of...
You lose a few because they want to get back to the table.
Yeah, you know, and plus we're just a different town. I think everyone needs to, like I said, like take a breath and like reevaluate how we create and how we entertain and what we can do. What do people respond to? What do they like? You know, instead of getting mad at the millennial, embrace the millennial and see what they enjoy. You know, there's nothing wrong with liking something different. The Rat Pack, they were the millennials at their time. Everyone thought they were crazy, but they didn't care. They just did their thing. And now they're so celebrated. It's like, I think we just need to do that now. We need to celebrate what people are creating now and what is exciting and different and special, like Baz. And For the Record, you know, they've been working on this for years and doing stuff in bars and to get to where they are, you know, and they continue to work. They don't stop. I mean, that's what's so admirable about their company is they don't go, okay, Baz is up and now we're just going to hang out. It's like, no, they keep pushing. They put up Scorsese for a short run. They've got their John Hughes show on Chips. They're working on Tarantino. Like, they keep pumping. And that's, I think, what we should do in Vegas. And it'd be fun.
Yep.
Yeah. Embrace the millennial. Have you ever literally tried to embrace a millennial? They're really squirmy. They don't like to be touched.
You know, they buy pottery. They got those headphones on. It's good pottery. I'll tell you right now, when I take a photo, you're going to be like, those glasses. I just want to fill it with vodka and lemon and just drink it all day.
I want to like red wine and dress up like Game of Thrones attire.
Well, I mean,
pottery.
That would be like every day if I could. I have to sit on that throne, though, because that thing is dope.
And you've also written and produced, you have your own show, your own musical production, Alice, which has played at a few different rooms around town, Vinyl at the Hard Rock, Brooklyn Bowl.
You did the Tuscany when we started. Mm-hmm.
Now you're Club doing Madrid stuff at the Red Rock.
Red Rock now, yeah.
Tell us about that show a little bit, because this is not...
I started writing that show out of anger because someone said to me that no one's going to want to see a show that doesn't have a girl in her underwear. And I was so mad because, first of all, there's nothing wrong with being in your underwear and doing a show, A. And B, I was kind of like, people will still come see a show. So I started writing it just like while I was working at Pinup, because we had a lot of downtime. I came in when they were about almost done building the show. So we had long days. So I just started writing it, some ideas and things. And I just started pulling people I was working with or had known to work with me. And it's just always, to me, been a project. And I just kind of was like, hey, let's all get together and do it. And, you know, we've been extremely fortunate. We've only done it for free once. We've always been paid. And I take care of my people, and I love them, and I love what they bring. I ask a lot of them. I give them a lot of difficult character declaration in moments that are uncomfortable and they jump. I give my female vocalist, Ashley Fuller, extremely difficult music to sing, and she just jumps in like it's nothing. I mean, they're all really amazing. My Cheshire Cat, Jeffrey DeBerethy, he designs all of our costuming. So his work gets to be seen. Adolfo Barreto plays my White Rabbit. He creates all of our makeup designs. And April and Michael choreograph all of our aerial work. The teapot that we use now was created by, it was designed by April and Michael and myself and my husband, and my husband built it. And we're just all internal. We all work together. Claudia and Ryan dance captain the show. Ryan and I co-direct the show. But honestly, it really is an ensemble creative piece. And that's what I wanted. I wanted people to come together and be like, hey, I have this idea for this character in these moments. So it's always in progress. So like this next performance we're doing August 13th at Red Rock, don't miss it. I'm adding two characters. So I haven't added characters in a few years. So I'm adding the White Queen. Jacqueline McSpadden will be playing that role. And I'm adding the Carpenter from the poem, The Walrus and the Carpenter. And Danny McHugh will be playing that. And they're singing their pieces in our pre-show. And then they'll be in and out of the actual show itself as I slowly sort of transition the show even more complicated and just, you know, way too much. Because that's what I love, over the top, crazy. And it's a neo-Victorian steampunk design. But it's super fun. Oh, and Krista Leopardi, she designs all the hair as well. So everything's very, very specific. But I love that. I love creating. That's what my master's degree is in theater and show creation. So it's fun to kind of actually do what I was, you know, wrote that horrible, horrible thesis for. That I almost just broke my computer at the end of. But yeah, it's fun.
Do you see yourself moving more in that direction, creating more than performing, or do you want to keep the balance for a while? Or,
well, I'm always writing. I'm writing a new show based on one of the short stories by Hans Christian Andersen. I've been working on that for about 2 years now. I'm starting to pull. That's going to be a lot more singer based, and I'm pulling folks for that very slowly. Hoping to workshop that maybe like in the fall to see the response. But I have severe ADHD, so I have to be writing and doing things all the time. And I get, you know, full-on insomnia about 3 times a month, so I'm writing during that. So I'm always kind of writing and doing things, but I really love performing too. So I just kind of take it day by day. Like today I have a job, I'm going to do my show tonight. In a few weeks I will not have a job, and I will figure it out. But, you know, I just kind of take it day by day at this point in my life. I just kind of, I love to write, love to create. I love, you know, Mark and I could talk for 45 hours and like about theater and things we love to do. Like, I'm surrounded by really incredible people that I know we all have so much to give, and we're all starting to talk about coming together to really create some stuff. So I'm excited. And I love performing. I love creating. It's just all fun. I'm just a big nerd. I will sit and then sing back up forever and be happy as can be. I will sweep the stage. Like, I just love theater. I'm just a geek. I love watching it. I love being a part of it. I love watching it be created. Good, bad, the ugly. I love all of it. It's just fun.
All right, it's time for the Vegas Uni. This is where we go around the table and share some recommendations of awesome Vegas stuff for you guys to go check out. And you get to begin with your recommendation. What is the Vegas that we all need?
Okay. I would have to say the Rosina Bar at the Palazzo. It's relatively new. It's not really big, so that's nice. It's nice and cozy. And the drinks are super bougie and very much done by a mixologist. I mean, I was like, I'll get a whiskey sour. And it was the most magical. I don't know what he did. He did something with egg whites. I don't even know what happened. And it was all foofy, and it had like a thing in the top, like a little picture. I just felt it was so bougie. It's like, you know, when you get a coffee and they put like a little thing in the foam and you're like, oh my God, yes. It was like that with alcohol, which is amazing. Yeah. You'll buy pottery.
An improvement.
But you'll buy it. It's a really nice place. The waitresses are absolutely beautiful, and they're very, very nice and helpful. The bartenders are amazing mixologists. I've never had a bad experience in there. And it's just a nice, if you want to go and have like a really cool drink, and it's not loud and crazy and it's cozy, but it's still bougie, Rosina is the coolest.
That's a great pick. It's one of my favorite cocktail spots on the Strip.
It's so fancy.
It's built to look like a train car.
Yeah.
And there's a little button in there that says for champagne service, press this button.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens if you actually press it.
They give you a little thing with champagne with like this cotton candy thing. I mean, I was freaking out. Drop the thing, it turns colors. I was just jumping up and down and clapping and just every girly squeaky clapping. Squeaky, you know, and they're like, oh my God, like just every squeaking sound. It's just really fun. And it's, you know, it's good for guys and girls. Like I've taken family and friends there and they all have an incredible time, and their ice cubes are bougie. I mean, like it's pretty fancy.
Yeah, that's Bougie Cubes. It's a brand of, I'm just kidding.
I like that though, Bougie Cubes. We're fancy.
Mark,
I love nice ice cubes.
What's your what's
pick
this
time? I'm
going
to talk a little sporting outing. Las Vegas Aces, our WNBA new franchise playing out of the Mandalay Bay Event Center. And they're on fire right now. Slow start to the season. It was looking bleak. But if you are a basketball fan, they are coached by the very rambunctious, that's the word for him, Bill Laimbeer. He was an original bad boy from the Detroit Piston days.
I'm a lifelong Detroit Pistons fan,
there
by the way.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So when I found out Bill Laimbeer was the coach, I was on board because I knew he would get them dialed in. And I think their style of play right now reflects a little bad boy Detroit Piston play. They're out there on fire. I think they've won like four straight. Maybe. I don't know. I'm looking at Ken. Ken, three? Five. Five. You gave me the five.
Four out of five.
I was close. I'm 5'9". Just kidding. I'm 5'7". But they're on fire right now. So my Vegas you need is to check out, and this is to locals listening, get down to the Mandalay Bay Event Center and support our new professional women's basketball franchise. They are playing lights out, and hopefully we can make it into the playoffs in our first year. That'd be really cool. Las Vegas Aces, Mandalay Bay Event Center.
Yeah, MGM spruced up that arena too. It's really nice. It's a really nice experience.
Yeah, it's real fancy. Yeah.
And it's very reasonably priced. I think you can get tickets for $15, $20.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's not like you're, I don't want to compare it to my employer, the Golden Knights, because Golden Knights tickets are not cheap.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's.
But that's like two fancy Starbucks drinks.
Sure.
And those you don't drink the whole thing. Whereas like the basketball game, you're gonna watch the whole thing.
It's pretty cool. And you get some popcorn and these girls can ball, man. They're some players. And we have the first round draft pick and she's playing lights out and it's just fun. It's cool. I'm not a basketball guy, you know, even NBA. I don't watch the men's league much, but
Canadians.
I went to a few games and I'm like, this is fun. I just think, you know, I'm a diehard hockey fan. Hockey's so fast. I think it's just a little tardy. It's on the slow side for me. But WNBA, Las Vegas Aces, Mandalay Bay Event Center, MGM doing it right.
Solid, solid pick.
Oh, yeah.
What do you got?
I've been on a little bit of a comedy kick lately. I chose Carrot Top last time. I continue to go see lots of comedy in Las Vegas. Eddie Griffin. Eddie Griffin just started a new residence at the Sayers Club, which is the small room at SLS. So check this out. It's not an, I don't remember how much it costs. It's not an expensive ticket. It's a small room. It's a great room for comedy. Free parking at the SLS.
Mm-hmm.
If you are local, it's very easy to get there and get in and out. You don't have to fight the crazy Strip traffic, and Eddie Griffin is one of the greatest stand-up comics of all time. That's just how it is.
Wow.
He is.
That's really good.
That's a quote.
He is.
You should send that to him.
He is, and he'll tell you that he is, too. He'll remind you of that.
Yeah.
He did, just so you know.
I went to see him this week, and the dude did, like, almost 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Of just nonstop. And edgy, too. You know, I think that people think about Vegas entertainment sometimes and think that, you know, the corporate nature of the Strip, that there's not a lot of real risk-taking stuff happening. There's no uncensored, super raw. Like, I was offended a few times.
All right.
And I don't get offended. And I was like, whoa. And that's good. That's what you want from that, from stand-up.
Yep.
Also, Undercover Brother is one of the greatest movies of all time. I don't know if you guys know that movie.
You just gave that movie a shout out.
Oh my God, that movie's so good.
Undercover Brother. You just took me back.
And think about this. Eddie Griffin is the star of that movie, and Dave Chappelle has a tiny role in that movie. Mm. Think about that.
I miss the Chappelle Show.
Yeah.
Eddie Griffin at the SLS, the Eddie Griffin Experience, it's called. Go check it out. It's Mondays through Wednesdays.
And go watch.
Which is, that's a commitment, but...
We're going to do a screening at the space now of Undercover Brother. Maybe we'll get him to show up and do a Q&A.
Oh, my God. You should.
He says he's working on a sequel.
Shut up.
I swear to God. I wouldn't have
Undercover Brother,
up.
Brother.
That's the Vegas you need this time around. Ann Martinez, thanks again.
Thank you.
For spending time with us today. Go see Ann and Baz at the Palazzo. It closes July 28th or 29th.
I believe the official is 28th, and then 29th is going to be like a private performance, I believe.
So go get your tickets right now so that you don't have to worry about it. And also see Alice at the Rocks Lounge at Red Rock Resort on August 13th.
13th, get there at 9:30. If you want to catch the pre-show, we have Aerialists performing as characters from the books. We also have the group These Guys, who are ridiculously awesome. And catch Danny McHugh as the Carpenter, and Jacqueline McSpadden as the White Queen, as they start their transition into our Wonderland. So it's going to be very exciting.
And Mark Chinook is the Walrus.
I lay in the corner and make random noises.
I am working on that. I just got to get that mermaid tail done. And he lays there, and it's our transitional grunter. Oh,
transitional grunter.
That's it.
Like the scene will end, and then you'll hear this.
Mm-hmm. How many memorable terms has Ann Martinez coined in this 40 minutes of show alone?
Well, I'm waiting
drunk
for...
Drunk Pottery.
Yeah, Drunk Pottery. It's a podcast with Ann Martinez.
I'm legit making a shirt that says Drunk Pottery and just see what people say.
Yeah.
If they're
I'd buy it.
Is that a company? And I'll be like, it's an experience.
It is now. Drunkpottery.com.
It could be like avant-garde pottery because it'll be drunkly made.
Monday's Dark returns to the space on July 23rd, raising money for Sin City Sisters. The musical theme is gospel.
We're going to church.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're swapping out the band a little bit. We're going to have an organ up there. We're going to have some choir robes.
You are not going to have an organ.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to do it up. We're going to church.
You better do some sister act.
I think we want to close the show with the sister act number as a big group number.
I will follow him.
Follow him.
And follow him wherever he will go.
The grunt happens.
Walrus makes an appearance.
Scene change.
Yeah, space is going to have a busy fall. You know, August is light, but that's on purpose because it's warm over here on Polaris and Harmon. But we've got Monday's Dark for the Sin City Sisters, two Monday's Dark events in August on mondaysdark.com. And then September, we welcome Tony Winner, John Lloyd Young, for Jersey Boys. He played Frankie Valli on the Broadway and in the film directed by Clint Eastwood. I think he was the only young American actor to sweep all of the awards for his Broadway debut. He got the Tony, the Helena, the Lucille Lortel, and whatever else they give away, the Reach Around in the Alley. Okay. He won that too.
I haven't heard of that one.
And then this is a first. This is an announcement exclusive to all the Vegas. Shoshana Bean, star of Wicked and amazing recording artist, will be here at the space October 24th and 25th. Tickets not on sale yet. We're going to make the official announcement, but to everybody listening, you just heard it here first.
And you need to go, and she needs to sing in your face for all of time.
She's unreal.
She is an alien of brilliance, so do not miss that performance, and it will sell out in 2 seconds.
TheSpaceLV.com.
Yeah, TheSpaceLV.
For
LV
all that stuff. Yeah. And MondaysDark.com, of course.
Mumble.
For tickets for that. This is a big, big week for Las Vegas Weekly Magazine. Do you know why?
Yes,
why?
We do. Tell
it's
us.
The annual Best of Vegas issue.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All the great stuff the Weekly team has picked out, plus all the Reader's Choice Awards. There's a new sports section of the Best of Vegas, of course. I don't think I have to tell anyone who swept the sports awards.
Yeah, there's a great bocce team in Henderson.
They're so good.
Yeah, they won everything.
They're so good.
I love bocce.
There's also an awesome party, a Best of Vegas party at Encore Beach Club happening this week. And you can go to that party. Just go to LasVegasWeekly.com and track it down. That's also where you can find every episode of All the Vegas. Or just go to allthevegas.com. That's a nice shortcut and easy to remember. Subscribe to the show and listen at iTunes and YouTube. I did something super silly this week. Last night, actually. I went to see 3 shows in one night at the Westgate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What'd you see?
Well, you're going to have to read my story at LasVegasSun.com. Wow.
Banana.
There's a lot of shows at Westgate. I don't know if you realize. I'll tell you, Barry Manilow was not one of the shows.
Boobies.
I did see the boobies.
Yeah, you did.
Did you see Clint?
Yes.
Clint and Earl.
So good.
Yeah, I do all kinds of crazy stuff, and I write all about it. So go to LasVegasSun.com to find all that stuff. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Drive carefully. Come back soon.